Okay, at this point, we're on sketch plats, and I'm going to reassign the chair duties to Ms. Gold, who is my alternate, as I need to attend another meeting. And thank you all. Ms. Gold.
All right, so this is Maggie Gould. That brings us to item number 14, our first sketch plat, PR 2021-005744, PS 2021-00086, for John and Stephanie Farrow, located at 2400 Meadowview Drive between Matthew Avenue and Indian School Road. Do we have somebody here? Is that, I see John, okay.
Yes, ma'am, I'm John Farrow, 2400 Meadowview Northwest.
Okay, and can you give us a brief description of your request, please?
Yes, I can. My wife and I purchased this property in late 1980. We've lived here since 1981. It's more than 1.7 acres. When we moved in, there was an alfalfa field along the northern edge, as well as down the western edge. And we kept that for as long as we were able to access underground water through a pump. We moved into here and the water table was at 10 feet. It is now, by the late 1990s, the water table had dropped below 75 feet, we were told. So we do not have alfalfa on either the north or the western edge. So it's always been our intention to ultimately sell part of the property. We have not listed it, but we have met some people who are interested in buying it. We actually have a purchase agreement with them to purchase the northern 110 feet. It's not been surveyed yet. So what I have highlighted on the most recent survey that I could find is what they would be purchasing. We understand their plans are to ultimately build a house there. They currently live in Corrales.
I think we're clear. It's more just the subdivision. So, but thank you for the history. Let's go through board comments then. Water Authority, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Mr. Farrow. This is Blaine Carter for the Water Authority. We don't have any objections to the proposed action. Your lot currently has a water and sewer account with the Water Authority. There are public mains on both frontages for both water and sewer. Those are available for what we call a routine connection with a tap and permit. Given that is all present and available, we are not going to require what we call an availability statement with this action. That's something your surveyor writing up subdivision will need to know, that we're not going to require that. Typically it takes 2 or 3 months to get that out. So it's saves some time not have to do that. And the reasoning for that is there's existing infrastructure and it's available to tap for the new lot. They could do a routine connection through our tapping permit process. You're within our service area, so that also saves some process items. We do ask when your surveyor draws the plat up that identify the location of your existing services to your home for both water and sewer. And the reason for that is if those services cross that northern new lot, you would need a private easement to maintain those locations. So we want the locations of those services identified so we can verify that there's either an easement required and provided or there's not one required. So that's really all we have for you on this one. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Thank you. My understanding right now, all of our services come off Meadowview from the west.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Code enforcement, please.
Hello, Mr. Perl, Vince Matanio, code enforcement. Your lot falls within an area of consistency, meaning that it has to be lot size or consistent with surrounding block. I did provide you the smallest and largest lots. That would be 0.894 would be the smallest, 1.49 being the largest. With that said, any replatting action, you don't want to create any kind of new nonconformities to setbacks with your existing house. So do you have any questions?
Yes, I do. And that was one of the comments that I highlighted to ask about, because first off, I apologize for the way I filled my I filled out the form, it asked for cross streets, and I didn't see that really. And you all selected Matthew and Indian School. I think it's really more accurate to say it's between Rio Grande to the west and San Ysidro to the east. But the size lot we're proposing to create is approximately 0.65 acres. And are you saying that it has to be 0.89 acres?
Yes, sir. The lots have to be consistent with what's in that block. The block is determined by definitions within the IDO. So those are the numbers that we ran internally. You can get a variance. There's a public hearing process that you can pursue to go outside of that parameter for the 0.6 lot you want to create.
Well, the lot directly across the street, across Matthew to the north, is more than 2 acres in size. And there's several, all along Matthew Avenue, there are several very large lots. So that's why I feel it's incorrect to say that Matthew down to Indian School is really the area of this. This is part of the old Matthew Dairy, and the farmhouse of the dairy is directly to the east, and it's on a very large lot as well. So I don't believe there should be a problem with creating a little bit more than a half acre on the northern edge. So.
I understand where you're coming from, sir. However, with the definitions of the lot and block, we have to depictate that internally. I can share that information with you via email of how I got that block and those lots that were used for the contextual standard guidelines.
Okay, I'd be happy to, I'd be interested to see it.
I definitely will.
Mr. Beazar?
Madam Chair, this is Shahab Beazar. I noticed that the lot line, it's going to be right on top of the, or like right along the building. Are there setback requirements that needs to be followed for when they, you know, we're replatting? Do we need a 5-foot setback or something on side setback?
This is Vince.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I saw that. This survey that we used was created in 1983, and that is was actually a small barn that was on the property when we bought it. Was a very rickety structure, and a few years after this survey was created, the city directed us to either repair it or tear it down, and I tore it down, so it doesn't exist anymore.
Okay.
In fact, the only thing that exists in it is this a small portion of an adobe wall that will not be anywhere near the southern dividing line.
So, Mr. Beazar, Mr. Montano, does that, if the shed as it's shown is not on the property any longer? And I guess it looks like maybe some clarification about what the northern boundary of that structure is maybe a good idea.
This is Antonio. Yes, Ms. Gold. A cleaner site plan would help determine that. One of the comments were just we cannot create a nonconformity to setbacks and or separation requirements. But if that shed is gone, it probably is a null and void issue.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Parks, please.
Christina Sandoval, Parks and Recreation. We have no comments.
Okay. Hydrology?
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. A blanket cross-lot drainage easement naming beneficiaries and maintenance responsibilities is required on the plat. Never mind. The second note was about the structure, and you've already addressed that. So Please note for future, an approved grading and drainage plan will be required prior to any building permit if any of these conditions are met. 500 cubic yards of grading, 1,000 square foot of proposed structure, or 10,000 square foot of proposed paving.
So you're referring to the house that ultimately gets built on this lot, is that correct?
That's correct, and that would be for the future. This is just a reminder for the future.
Sure, okay. Yeah, our buyers don't yet have any idea what they're gonna build there. We've discussed it with them. We think they're gonna put a nice house there, and they'll deal with that in a year, two or three. And thank you.
Okay. Transportation?
Yes, this is Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation. Whenever a platting action comes in, we tend to look at surrounding road and what improvements may or may not be needed according to current DPM standards. So that's what my comments are focused on. So first of all, show distance from curb to property line and existing sidewalk widths. The required sidewalk width at these locations is 5 feet for both streets along the entire frontage of the property. Provide these widths with the next submittal. If the width happens to be slightly less, it's possible that a width waiver can be requested in lieu of having to build the sidewalk at 5 feet, which is the current requirement. Also indicate overall lot right-of-way widths on both streets. The required minimum right-of-way width for these is 48 feet. Based on this, right-of-way dedication may be needed. Dedication of right-of-way is required at the intersection to provide a radius for the property corner. All public infrastructure, such as sidewalk particularly, should be contained within the public right-of-way, and any private infrastructure, such as fencing, would need to be relocated so it does not encroach within the public right-of-way. And also, I did note that a curb ramp is needed at the Matthew Meadow Drive intersection.
What is a curb ramp?
It's for ADA access. Typically at intersections, you'll see how the curb depresses. It goes from a full curb height to flush with the asphalt, and that's to allow wheelchair access.
Okay. You may be aware, if not, the city completely repaved Matthew from Rio Grande all the way to San Ysidro over the winter. And I believe the curb ramp is now there.
Okay.
They also replaced the sidewalks on both sides. So I will certainly mention this to our surveyor for him to note those items.
Yes, thank you. If that's the case, it doesn't show up in the current aerial. I would have only noticed that with a site visit. But yes, if your surveyor would show all that information in the next submittal, then that sounds like that would probably meet our requirements. I'll review that.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And this is Maggie Gould. So planning comments are the standard comments we have for all PRTs about using this same project number for any future actions. And your whatever is approved by the DRB needs to be included with any of your building permit submittals. And then also your final plat will require the city surveyor's signature, the signature of your own surveyor, and property owner's signature. We've discussed the code enforcement comments for contextual standards, and you are not within any overlay zone. And then, as we discussed earlier in the meeting, just noting that the integrated development ordinance, our zoning code, has gone through its annual round of updates, and those updates go into effect July 30th. So depending on when this application is submitted, there may be some different rules.
Yes, ma'am. I understand that we do not yet have a surveyor.
Okay.
I'm not sure if he could even get to it by the end of the month. So we'll deal with that if and when we get to it.
Okay. All right. Do you have any other questions?
No, ma'am. Not right now. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. You are welcome to call or email us if you do.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. This brings us then to item 15, PR 2020-00-3656, PS 2021-00087 sketch plat. Arc Plan Consultants agent for James and Mary Jean Plummer. And I see Mr. Archuleta.
Madam Chair, still here. Yes.
Excellent. Thank you.
So, Madam Chair, members of the board, this is a property that may be familiar to some board members. This was submitted for sketch plat over a year ago. We're here for updated comments. The existing conditions are still the same. We have, I believe it's four very small MRGCD tracts that they would like to have consolidated. The land use is an existing single family residence. So we're here for updated comments. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Water Authority, please.
Madam Chair, Blaine Clark for the Water Authority. Derek, we have no objections. Thanks.
Thank you.
Code enforcement.
Ms. Montano, code enforcement, hello. This site is within an air consistency. However, the cleaning up of this lot would, section 54C1B applies. They're not creating any extra non-conformity. So we have no comments or objections.
Thank you.
Thank you. Parks?
Christina Sandoval, Parks and Recreation, and we have no comments on this case.
Okay, thank you. Hydrology?
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. Hydrology has no comments on this one.
Thank you.
Okay. Transportation?
Jane Wolfenbarger with Transportation. Griegos is a major collector and San Ysidro is a minor. Minimum sidewalk widths are 6 feet at each of these roads. Based on the large differences between the required width and existing width, and because it's on a bus route, a wider sidewalk is requested than what is shown. Right-of-way dedication must be based on providing a minimum 6-foot sidewalk. Also, go ahead and have the 6-foot sidewalk placed onto an infrastructure list. Move fencing outside of right-of-way to the property line. I seem to note that in the submittal because Griegos Road is a major collector street at this location. Right-of-way dedication is needed to meet minimum requirements even for a short distance. Meet with transportation separately for direction on road cross-section. A slight width waiver may be requested as long as it appears that all roadway features can be accommodated.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and this is Maggie Gould with planning. So again, all of the standard comments. Code enforcement comments for contextual standards, as Mr. Montano said, sounds like a good, you're not in an overlay zone, and see section 5.4, subdivision of land for specific subdivision requirements, and section 5.3, access and connectivity, especially 5.3C3B, regarding driveway length. And again, the heads up on the IDO update.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, sure. Anything else?
I think we got it. Thank you.
All right. Bye. Thank you. Okay, that brings us to item number 16, PR 2020-004174, PS 2021-00088 sketch plat. Mark Goodwin and Associates, agent for Remby Urban Design and Development. And Who do we have representing item 16?
I'm Jay Remby, one of the owners, Jay Remby.
Okay. Oh, and I see Hiram as well. Okay.
Yeah, Hiram's here. Hi, Hiram. And I also have Susan Henderson with Placemakers. So
okay.
My team is Mark Goodwin and Associates with Hiram and Mark and Diane. And then we have wonderful Susan Henderson and her team with Placemakers. I'll just quickly, I got to turn up my phone because I had you guys on my phone as well. I'll quickly just give you a description of what I'm doing,
sure.
My goals, and as well as the opportunities. First of all, you know, what I've submitted today is cottage courts to the west and the cluster subdivision to the east. But the archdiocese that owns the majority of this land, you know, they're in the process of bankruptcy. They're selling some of the surplus land. They will be bulk platting this property and selling these to me after they perform the bulk plat.
Okay.
And then I will take it from there. They what I'm showing you. I do not own the entry road at Church Road that comes from Griegos and loops all the way around to San Isidro. So it's just track two where you have your pointer now. That's the cottage court. I'm sorry, that's the cluster subdivision. And then to the east of Guadalupe Church Road is the cottage court. But the vision and goal, I grew up in the North Valley. I actually went to Alvarado Taft and Valley High School. And I'm super excited about doing something very innovative that would have a huge emphasis on landscaping and community. And so, the goal and vision was to really try to provide as much open space that would be dedicated towards communal gardens, edible fruit trees, and other wonderful amenities that would really encourage community engagement. And so on the east side of Church Road, you have the cluster subdivision with approximately 20 homes. You know, the idea here is it's very hard to find smaller, really well-designed houses that are lock and leave really anywhere in the city. And so the goal here is to do these wonderful little cottage or a cluster, let's say patio homes surrounded by courtyards. I've engaged Susan and her team to really take the next step with the architecture. I hope to really bring in wonderful architecture that will get built by a future builder. I'm not gonna personally build these. So we wanna control ideally every little aspect of this. And then on the east side or the west side of the road is a series of these cottage courts. And Susan can get into a little bit about how we kind of meandered the open space and came up with that. We spent a lot of time looking at other wonderful examples in New Mexico with plazas up north. But the idea here is you have a series of cottages anywhere from 650 to 1200 square feet that have these porches that face these open spaces to really encourage community engagement and provide these wonderful spaces that are well landscaped. And it just feels like when you step back, you're in these serene little spaces. And you can see we've pushed the parking as far away as we can from the internal space of it. So people really can kind of push the cars away and encourage the best and most wonderful pedestrian experience we can.
Nice.
Yeah. And so I'm really just curious, and I'll let
Susan. Let's go through board comments and we'll see where you all are. Water Authority, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, everyone. This is Blaine. Actually, good afternoon now. Blaine Carter with the Water Authority. So for this particular project, we have several, sort of steps that need to be completed. Just first off, there was a serviceability letter issued related to some type of development back in 2020. That number is 200611. That was serviceability letter. So that generally provides project information about where lines are, what might be required as you come up with future development. It's not what we call an availability statement, which is more detailed and gives the actual conditions for service. So it sounds like you're at a point where you've got a more specific layout. You have lots shown, et cetera, but we would be ready to review and issue a availability statement, which would be much more specific, showing main locations. And that would be something that you could carry forward for platting action and be the basis of an infrastructure list. So I think at this point, if this layout is kind of what you're thinking to go with, I would suggest that you submit that for an availability statement request. We can review that and look at the mains and make sure they're sized appropriately and can get you water and sewer service. With that request, you do need to include fire flow requirements. I'm not sure the cottages, normally for residential, for single family, we're looking at 1,000 gallons per minute for fire flow. I don't know if the development on the west side may have something greater. That's something that's typically shown on a fire one plan. And so that's something you wanna get with your design team and potentially the fire marshal's office to clear up if it's gonna be more than 1,000 gallons per minute. for residential, we're typically assuming a vast. You are within our service area, so that makes our processes fairly easy. You get an availability statement and you sort of proceed through staff level reviews. There's not a board approval required. For the availability statement, we ask for a utility plan. We often don't get one, but we do ask for one. And I think this is the one we particularly would like to have that information as we review the statement. So what is your intention with getting water and sewer to us in a public system? And then we can review that for either modification or approval. So there's some comments provided from what we'd like to see in the utility plan. Those, I think, were emailed to you, but it's general information, locations, easements, easement sizes, et cetera. We do request you get with 811 and your surveyor, New Mexico 811, to locate the existing mains. Make sure they're within easements. If they're not within easements, we do require you to get a dedicated additional easement as you move forward. Again, the infrastructure list, when you do a subdivision plat, there would be an infrastructure list. Our requirements on the infrastructure list would be based upon the issued availability statement. And I'm not sure if there's private services. The church seems to have service. I'm not sure where their main connections are and where the service lines are. If they are not going to be reconnected to a new main installed with this project, we need to know where their existing service lines are, their yard lines, and make sure you provide private easements over those yard lines so they can maintain their services. So that's really all we have at this point. It's a little vague at this point, but there's a lot of steps to do. If you have questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Brian, I have a question. So we've submitted for Fire One, our Fire One plan. So we're waiting for comment on that. Once we get that, how long does it take to get a response from you on the water availability statement?
Yeah, our current processing times are between 2 and 3 months in terms of submit of a complete application. It's about 2 or 3 months in terms of actual receipt back in your hands of an availability statement.
So my due diligence expires August 14th. And so what other kind of assurances can I get prior to that just to make sure there's no issues with the water and sewer availability?
Our process is the availability statement. That's that's the only way to get a signature from our executive director committee service. Anything less than that is not going to be the water authority approving something. It's going to be our staff's opinion as to what might be possible. You're welcome to meet with us, but it's not a signed statement from our executive director that says we are committed to providing you service in this manner. So I think that's a tough one. There's nothing that meets that level that we can do by what's basically a month from now.
So Blaine, I appreciate it. So you'd be willing to sit down with me and kind of walk through approved. I know you don't want to use that word, but to at least kind of walk through and help me understand that just to make sure I'm
kind of know where. So when you submit a request, typically want the Fire One with that request, we have to draft maps, do analysis, do fire flow analysis. And so it's often helpful to meet with you just so we can do that properly and do it once, do it right. So definitely great. Willing to meet with you to go over all that, and you can get an idea of what we're looking at, what we're looking for. And that may get you some comfort, but it's not the full deal, but it's, something. And I think we would be definitely willing to do that and would actually ask that we do that on a project of this size.
Perfect. Well, I appreciate that. We'll do that. And I appreciate you offering it too.
Thank you.
I don't have any more questions on that. I'm not sure if my team does.
Okay. Code enforcement then?
Hello, Vince Montano, code enforcement. The first comment on this is a proposed cottage development would have to meet the use specific standards. One of those being that the cottage development's over the 2 acres in site that's allowed. As to the proposed cottage development, my only comments is to make sure you abide by the use specific standards in 4.3b2. A little bit of the site plan was unclear. I'm not sure if you have any further questions for me.
So just to clarify, Vincent, I believe this is what you said, and I'm just confirming that it's over 2 acres to allow for a cottage development, correct?
Correct. The use specific standards for cottage development, max size allowed is 2 acres.
Max size. So I have the ability to do, multiple cottage courts in there based on
kind of the phasing too. So that's okay if we plat them that way, correct?
I would believe so. I'd have to check that question. I don't think there's any separation requirements from each other, but I didn't really do that diligence.
Okay. So no larger than 2 acres. Is there a minimum? And I know Susan knows this, but I'm asking the question.
I do not believe so.
This is Maggie Gould. I think the minimum is 1 acre. I'm looking at the use specific standards right now.
So it's 1 to 2 acres. You can't go larger than 2 acres per cottage court. Is that right?
I believe that's what the use specific standards state.
Susan, is that your understanding too? Just, is she there?
Yeah. And this is also something that we can schedule a follow-up for as well once you've gotten all of your comments. So let's move on to parks, please.
Good morning, Christina Sandoval, Parks and Recreation Department. I'm actually very familiar with this site because this was the church I went to as a kid. Is the existing band shell shelter that they do the church fiestas, is that going to be on the church property still, or is that going away with your development?
That will still be on their church property. So everything kind of to the north of that, Christina, is the vacant land to the north is what they're selling me.
Okay. So just, you know, for your future home buyers, it doesn't happen often, but there is quite a bit of noise during those fiestas, traffic blockage. So just something to keep in mind in terms of, you know, how close residents are to that facility.
I appreciate that. I look at that as an amenity. You know, it's part of being in the neighborhood, and hopefully they partake in those wonderful fiestas.
Other than that, Parks and Recreation has no comments.
Okay, hydrology, please.
Ernest Armijo, hydrology. An approved grading and drainage plan is required prior to plat. Please note, this site falls under the valley drainage criteria and must follow DPM Chapter 6, Article 6-4, valley drainage criteria.
Okay.
Okay, transportation?
Jane Wolfenberger with transportation. Please make distinction between public and private right-of-way. It is requested that the proposed roadway shown on this plat be private if it's connecting into private roadways on each end. Also show any private easements that the proposed road is connecting into, if they exist, and verify that they meet minimum requirements that are laid out in the DPM. There must also be sidewalk that extends to Griegos or to public right-of-way. If there's not an actual public private roadway easement on the south, then a turnaround shall be provided per DPM requirements for a roadway dead end that extends over 150 feet long. That's per the DPM requirements, basically. And these are just some comments to note just for traffic circulation layout purposes. Rather than platting action, all parking lot driving aisles and two-way streets shall be at least 24 foot wide as per DPM requirements. If the 20 foot wide street for the subdivision is meant to be one-way signage shall be provided. All parking lots shall have ADA spaces and necessary ADA pathways, including 6-foot pathways from the handicap spaces to the facility. And all roadway improvements, even if private, shall be placed onto the infrastructure list.
Thank you. Mr. Biazar?
So I have a question for Jean. Is that okay, Maggie?
Let Shahab say what he is going to say, because that you might end up with a question for both of them.
Sure.
This is Shahab Biazar. Mr. Rambia, those corner lots where ties into the main street, we're going to need corner radiuses for those. So just wanted to mention that.
So this was the bigger question for both of you. So, you know, as you can see, I don't control any of those parcels off of Griegos and that entry road, not or even Guadalupe Church Road. So I'm not sure how I do that, because I can't. So what's the strategy with that?
So what does the plat include?
What is the what include, Jeff?
The platting action. What are we replatting? I feel like replatting this whole thing.
The seller will be doing a bulk plat, selling me the parcel to the east of Church Road, as well as to the north of Church Road. And then it's, you know, it doesn't include Church Road, or doesn't include any of that, the entry of Church Road off of Griegos.
Jay, could you zoom in a little bit?
Pardon me?
No, sorry. I was asking Jay if you could zoom in a little bit. So these are platted lots already?
No. No. So the seller will be delivering these as large tracts to me. And after they do that in a bulk plat, I'll be coming in and requesting preliminary plat for both the east and west tracks.
So basically this layout that you're proposing, this is what how it's going to look like, the replat. 20 right. lots?
20 lots to the east and potentially 41 lots to the west.
Okay. So I was looking at lot number 1 and lot number 20. That's what I consider the corner lots. Those at the corner, they need radiuses.
Not a problem. So you're not staying up on Griegos?
No, right here at this corner, these two corner lots at the corner, when you come in, we need okay. corner radiuses per DPM.
I got that. Okay, that makes sense.
Okay.
And that would be true too, Shiab, on the western property, correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
And then so my responsibilities for sidewalks and these turning radiuses all are internal for the properties I'm purchasing, correct?
That is correct.
Not on the land that I don't own, don't control, have nothing to do with, correct?
Yeah, whatever, this is Shahab Yezar, whatever you're replatting, I mean, the criteria would be based on, you know, the property that you're replatting.
Okay, got it. Thank you, okay. Shahab.
Okay, and this is Maggie Gould. So your comments from planning are the standard comments regarding your project numbers and what's required on your plat. You will need a sensitive lands analysis, and those forms are on our website. We can help you with that if you'd like. Also, section 5.4 of the IDO regarding subdivision of land and subdivision requirements. And then we'll need to confirm with code enforcement whether or not section 5.3C.3b will apply to this on your driveway length. And both the cluster development and cottage development standards are included in the comments. I just looked at the 2020 updates to the IDO, and the only change in there is one that doesn't apply to you because it has to do with urban centers, main streets, and premium transportation.
Okay. One just quick question. How long is it taking to get through preliminary and final plat? Can those be done simultaneously?
So it's gonna really depend on your project. So on this, since you're over, you know, you're good, this is gonna be a major plat. We do wanna see the preliminary plat first because we want that to be where we work out any additional details, easements, dedications. Once that's clean though, the final plat is a 1 week turnaround.
Okay.
So, and the only answer I can give you to that is it's really going to depend on the completeness of your plat.
Okay. Can you give me like a short and long number just to...
Well, okay. So the preliminary plat is a 30-day advertised. So if you had a really nice clean plat, it might end up being... you know, like a 2 week deferral to address whatever needed to be addressed. And then you could come back. And again, without knowing like you know, how long things will take with Water Authority, how long things will take with your civil engineer. I'm not really comfortable putting a timeline on it because.
Madam Chair, if I may.
Please.
I have a couple of comments again, that, Mr. Remby.
Yes.
In order for you to take over some of these properties, that needs to be platted, right?
That's correct.
Oh, so, okay. So I was wrong because some of the improvements that are on the adjacent properties will kick in. Like if you need any changes to that part of the plat, any improvements, those have to be done as well as part of the platting. So it's not just going to be what you're going to be doing in the future on the piece that you're purchasing, but it's going to be on anything that is part of that planning action.
And then, so if I'm not part of that planning action and they're doing a bulk plat.
This is Maggie Gould. I don't know that they meet the requirements for a bulk plat. Give me one moment, please.
Okay.
And as Mr. Beazar said, when they come in to plat off these parcels, there's infrastructure that may be required. Hold on just a second. Sorry about that.
Yeah, this is Shahab Beazar. I don't think they would need the bulk land variance, especially if there are existing improvements on the property itself. Like I think there's a church building on the land.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Usually bulk land variances are on large tract of lands where there are no improvements, where the property will come back for some sort of site plan or some sort of improvements. Since there are existing buildings and they're not planning to come back to DRB, they won't meet the bulk land variance. And my other comments was as far as timing, you need to submit your grading and drainage plan. So once you have a grading and drainage plan submitted to us, we are about 4 to 6 weeks on the review time. You have to go through Water Authority for availability. So that's going to take, probably 6 weeks or so. So just getting through the preliminary plat, you're talking about over two months because we have to come up with an infrastructure list that DRB could approve. Then you have to go through financial guarantees. So I would say like it would definitely be about over 3 months time for the whole process. Assuming that you get everything to us in a timely fashion.
Right.
It's complete.
So how do they not meet the bulk plat? Primarily just because there's buildings on the site, or is there another item that they're not meeting, the seller?
So this is Shahab Beazar. So we got to make sure that there is a way. Well, there's a lot size requirements. That's for one thing. So I don't know what that land, what is the size of that track that is going to be subdivided. So there's those track sizes, and I don't know for residential, commercial has to be 20 acres or more. Residential is 5 acres or more to meet your bulk land variance. And then for, if the DRB feels like there are improvements that they need to be captured, now, which cannot be captured in the future, then you won't meet the bulk land variance.
Okay. All right. I don't have any other questions.
Okay. And if you, if it sounds to me like if the church is thinking about replatting this property, it would probably be in their best interest to also schedule a sketch plat so that what they finally bring in makes sense. And I was trying to quick dig up the bulk land definitions, but that's something that we can email to you as well.
I believe they have already, Maggie.
Okay.
And
I know they came in, somebody came in.
Yeah, Robert Fierro.
More than a year ago. And
yeah,
it was good.
A while ago.
Yeah. So because the IDO gets updated yearly and because we've had changes to the DPM, it's always good to check back in.
Makes sense.
Okay. All right. Thank you. If you don't have anything further, let